I'm glad this morning for the blessings of the Lord. I appreciate everything the Lord has done for us, and I'd like to have a burden on my heart today for something the Lord's been dealing with me about, and I desire to talk about leadership this morning. And I feel very inadequate many times to talk about that. I feel like it's part of the Bible, and it's something the Lord wants to help us with, each and every one. Leadership is something that the Lord knows we need more of. Godly men and women who will take the lead and do what God wants them to do. You're not always going to be in the eyes of people looked at highly. You may not always have the approval of everyone when you're in leadership, but we need to follow the Lord most of all when He leads us. So I have quite a bit down here, and I'm going to try to make this as quick as I possibly can. There's a little leadership thought that he who thinketh he leadeth and hath no one following him is only taking a walk. So we want to be people that are following the Lord and doing His will, and following Him most of all. This song has come to me in the past couple of days. I've been carrying this on my heart, and I just want to unload this morning and reveal to you something the Lord has given me. The name of this song, and I don't know who wrote it exactly. I know Steve Green sings this, and it's called Hidden Valleys. In a hidden valley just over the hill, a young shepherd boy surrenders his will. As he lifts his voice and prays to his king, only the lambs will hear and follow as he sings. Hidden valleys produce a life song. Hidden valleys will make the heart strong. Desperation can cause you to sing. Hidden valleys turn shepherds to kings. In a hidden valley, a leader is born. He has faced the fears and weathered the storm. So with humble heart and love for his God, he becomes royalty with just a staff and rod. In a hidden valley, a faithful one leads, no one looking on to care for their needs. For he knows the one who tries the heart, so he is steadfast and content to do his part. So this morning, leaders and leadership doesn't just come by somebody handing it to me, somebody just giving me the part as the boss of a company or as a leader in the church. It's many times something just given to you and not earned. It's not worth very much. And leadership comes. And there is, I think we must look at David in his life really to see the blessings of leadership and what it means to us today. So pray for me today. I want to share with you something this morning that the Lord just brought to my mind. It's found in the book of 1 Chronicles, the 11th chapter, and the first verse. Then all Israel gathered themselves to David unto Hebron, saying, Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. And moreover, in time past, even when Saul was king, thou wast he that leddest out and broughtest in Israel. And the Lord thy God said unto thee, Thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be ruler over my people Israel. Isn't it amazing when God is working with us that people know that? People know that. They said to David, it was you, even though Saul was king, but we were following you. We were watching how you led Israel in and out. We were watching you. We had our eyes on you because we knew you were anointed by God. God was with you. And while Saul held the position, David was leading. And you know, this morning it's a good thought for us to remember, keep humble. Don't let things, because you're pastor, because you're a Sunday school teacher, because you have a lot of age on you, you have experience, don't let that go to your head. I'm talking to myself also. We don't need to let things go to our head just because we have a title. Sometimes those things can work against us. We need to be followers of Christ. We need to walk after Him. And you might think, well, this is a male-dominated message. I might talk about David, but I want to tell you something. I grew up a mama's boy. I don't pull any. I just say this. My mom was a leader. She didn't have the title, maybe, but my mom was a leader. And you sisters don't have to think that this, okay, I've got to go out and kill all these giants and do these things, and I'm going to exert a little authority. I'm going to pull the card and say, well, I'm the pastor, or I'm supposed to be doing this. When what people are looking at is our example and how we lead. They're watching us. I watched my mom. I seen how she faced things. I watched her. And that's how we're going to follow. We're following those that are leading the way. You might not always agree with them, but there's an element of truth you look at and you say, "This, I sense the Spirit of God here. This is something the Lord is working in." They said to David, "We're bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh. We've seen Saul when he was king, and we watched you lead people in and out. We watched you, your influence, and we watched how you were. Now we want to make you the king." David was a real... He was a leader. And I looked at different things that under leadership. And I want to stay in this book of Chronicles just a moment here and look in the 19th chapter of this First Chronicles. And I'm not going to read all of this. I'm going to try to save as much time as I can. But Saul in his army, how many giants did they kill in Saul's army throughout his lifetime? How many? None. Zero. How big was Saul? The Bible said he was head and shoulders above everyone. Could he have done it? I believe he could if he had the courage to. What was the difference? Well, let me read here a little bit in the 19th chapter. And let me start here in the 20th chapter. It says in the 20th chapter in the 4th verse, "It came to pass after this there arose war at Gezer and the Philistines, at which time Sibichai the Hushathite slew Sippai, that was of the children of giant. They were subdued. There was war again, and there was another giant, Lami, killed, and there was another war. And it said in the 6th verse, a war at Gath. There was a man of great stature whose fingers and toes were 24. six on each hand and six on each foot, and he was also a son of the giant. And it goes on and it gives a little history of the giants. Not one of them was taken in Saul's army. It was because he was not a giant killer. David was. He had the experience, and that experience inspired others to do that. In leadership, it takes one to be one. If we want, and I want, whatever, if we want people to prosper, if we want people to overcome, guess what? They're looking at our life. Have they been consistent? Have they been how have they faced their temptations? Where did their leadership, where is it coming from? What experience do they have? Have they gone through anything? Do they have any scars? Do they have any experience in life that has qualified them to be what they are? You see, where David gained his experience was when nobody was around. In that hidden valley, it said a leader is born. The hidden valley was where David was singing praises to his God. And there was nobody, as he knelt and he consecrated his life to the Lord and gave himself, there was nobody to applaud him. There was no fanfare. There was nobody, no recognition. But the lambs and the people, the animals around him. And David quietly submitted and humbled himself before God, and a leader is born. And it was in those tough places where he was by himself and he was able to conquer wild animals that he gained the momentum and the confidence with God. All things are possible. Without that confidence and without that faith in God, we're not able really to do very much at all. And where leadership comes in play, when people look at us, they go, well, they haven't been very consistent in their life. And, you know, when I seen them get into this trial, they got discouraged and they left the Lord. They gave up. And I've seen them in their life. There's been an inconsistency. There's been this up and there's been this down, and it's not been level, and things haven't been always on the up. And you know what that does to people? It's exactly what we're talking about here. It takes away from our leadership ability. Lord, help us today. I feel like we need the Lord to help us. Not that we are confident in ourselves. We're not trusting in ourselves. But we're trusting in the living God. We're asking Him to help us. We're asking Him in the times when no one is around that we be faithful and we learn how to slay the giants. We learn how to conquer the things. When David had the confidence when he came up and it came time for him to tackle one of the biggest giants, Saul was somewhere hiding himself. He wasn't up front. He gave David such a cowardly way, gave him his armor, said, take this, maybe this will help you. He gave him all he knew what to trust in. But David said, I can't wear this stuff. It just doesn't fit me. Let me just alone. And he picks up the five stones, possibly knowing that there might be more than one giant to conquer. He takes the five stones. If all of them come at me at once, I'll have five of them. He knew the Lord wasn't going to let him down. He was going to hit him with the first one. And you imagine the size. I don't know why, but I just think about how much food it would cost to feed Goliath. I wouldn't want to be his dad. He could devour two or three or four dozen eggs. His head was probably a foot. I don't know. It was big. David was going... I've hit rabbits smaller than your head. And just let me get a little close here, and boom. He had confidence. And that gave him momentum. And that was leadership. What happened when all the people saw that the giant was going horizontal? Well, they all got inspired. And they jumped up and they start chasing. You see, leadership. Leadership is something that we desperately need in this day and time that we live in. People that you can depend on. People that you can count on. They'll be there. They'll be there. They might not look like much, but they'll be there. They'll stick with you. I have something I want to share with you here. When you have knowledge or skill and the momentum that confidence brings, then things begin to happen in your relationships. Isn't that so true? But if we lack confidence, if we lack that confidence, it's not very encouraging. You can't hardly get people to do anything when you're not confident yourself. But you take a salesman that knows what they're selling, and he's got confidence in that. It doesn't matter what they look like. I had a man, a snaggletooth. This man had one tooth missing, and he came in our house. He woke me up. I was working nights when we first got married, and he had one tooth missing or more. But that man, he held up those pots and pans, and he grinned. And I'll be if we didn't buy those things. We later canceled them and got out of it. But that snaggletooth man, he was sure what he was selling. This is great stuff. We got the best stuff, and we're going to sell you some pots. And he did. You can't sell anything if you don't have confidence in it. You can't do anything if you don't have confidence in what you're talking about. And that brings up another little thought. I wrote a lot of things down it. He who knows not and knows not that he knows not is a fool. Shun him. He who knows not and knows that he knows not is a child. Teach him. He who knows and he knows not that he knows is asleep. Wake him. He who knows and knows that he knows is wise. Follow him. I thought that was pretty good advice. Pretty good advice. Lord help us today. I was reading about a young boy and 6 years old. He was drawing and had paper out, and his mom came by and said, "Joel, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm drawing a picture of God." She said, "Well, son, nobody knows what God looks like." And he said, "Well, they will after I get done." That's confidence. That's a little confidence. Don't you think we need that sometime? The fearful, what did the Bible say? The fearful and unbelieving will have their part. Where? Yeah, Lord help us not to be fearful and unbelieving. Do you think we can complete this project? Do you think we can do this? There'll be those that stand up and say, "No, we can't." I'm telling you what, folks, we can't do it. You cannot do that. We can't do it. We can't. I've heard that so many times. It just, when I hear that, it goes, I want to take you back and say, "Okay, now you remember when you said this couldn't be done? Now you stand up here and apologize to everybody." Well, I've heard you for years say that same thing. Now apologize to everybody. I haven't done it, but I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that'll bring a fear, and they'll surround with all kinds of fears, and it can't be done. You just can't do it. Well, are we going to try? Would you rather? I found a little sparrow one time that was in a grease pan up on the roof of Burger King. A little grease pan was about this high, and he was just tall enough. He fell or plopped down in there, didn't know that he couldn't get out, and he died with his head up just like this. Would you rather die with your head up? Would you rather say we've tried and failed? You ask Thomas Edison, "How many failures?" He said, "Oh, I hadn't failed any time." He said, "I can tell you a lot of things that don't work, but I've never failed." We need some confidence today. David had confidence, and what it done was inspired. It inspired the people around him. Confidence inspires those that are around us. Fear paralyzes, doesn't it? It's like, oh, you might as well just give up. I remember as a boy, we played this little team from Lombard High School. And these were little guys. We were probably in the fifth grade, maybe. I don't remember. It was a long time. But I remember them all getting out of the car and coming up to us and shaking our hands and saying, "We're going to win tonight. We're going to win tonight." And I thought, well, that's nothing new. We hadn't hardly ever won a game in a long time. So it was just another night. But do you know the confidence those little boys had? Now, of all things, we did beat them. I remember that part. But confidence sometimes goes a long ways. It does. If we think we're beaten, we probably will be before we even start. Lord, help us to at least give it a try. Are you going to go down without even a try? Are you going to go down this morning without even trying? You say, "Oh, I can't do it. It's just impossible." What are we doing, folks? When we think of leadership, if we're going to inspire confidence in other folks, we've got to have a faith in God. We've got to keep going forward. The book of 1 Samuel, I want to read this in 1 Samuel 18 and 30. This scripture came to me the other day. Just this week, actually, I was laying in bed and I was just meditating on things of God. And this scripture came to my mind, 1 Samuel 18 and 30. "Then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass after they went forth that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by." His name was much set by. How do we get a name? He said here he behaved himself wisely. He was careful how he came in and how he went out. He was careful in all of his dealings. He knew that he had a foe. He knew he had opposition, but he behaved himself wisely. Doesn't that give us a clue today what we need to do also? If we're going to have a name that is much set by, if we're going to carry about authority, if we're going to carry about a bit of respect, we should behave ourselves wisely. It's when we're inconsistent. It's when we do things that are not, that it's just more than just a mistake once, but it's a consistent thing. There's not something that keeps the momentum up. It's an up and a down, an up and a down, and it's nothing consistent. We don't get a name much set by being that way. We've got to be consistent in what we do. In leadership, there's a lot of people looking at us, and they may go along for a while, but do you know, we need to have that confidence inside and know which way we're going. Lord, help us to have a name that is much set by. Bear with me just a moment here. It takes a leader to be a leader. There were no giant killers in Saul's army because he was not one. And we can't expect people to rise above any higher than what we are. We really can't. They won't come. If we have fears and we have little doubts, and we can't expect others to rise any higher. The Bible said, like priests, like people. So may the Lord help us today to have that inspiration of faith, to have that leadership ability as a mother, as a father, as in our homes, in the church, wherever we're at, to instill that confidence in others that we've got this from the Lord. You know, there's something wonderful about God's dealings. It's not always recognized at the very beginning by everyone, but in the very end, If people can see they were led by the hand of God, if they can begin to see and you prove your life, you'll have a name much set by. You'll have something people will respect you. You know, there is in our age today, there is such a lack of respect. In the 60s and 70s, anyone that had a place of authority, that authority was like a bumper sticker. Challenge authority. You've seen, I don't know if y'all, but there was a bumper sticker, challenge authority. And people related authority with abuse. If you have power, you're going to abuse people. And we don't need that. We don't need that. That's the spirit of the age. We don't need that kind of stuff. We don't want to see people that are in authority. And believe me, I've heard and I know some horror stories of people. There's pastoral authority. You've probably heard of that. And it's real prominent. You look at where that has gone and see what people have been under for so long. You know, I have personally heard a pastor tell someone from the pulpit, shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. You might say, boy, we need some more of that today. No, not that kind. Where you tell people where you can go on vacations. You got to get their approval to do everything, the clothes you wear and everything. And they all have to go through the pastor. Listen, that's not the kind of authority I'm talking about today. But there is a respect for those in leadership. There is a respect. And there is a blessing in following those that are following the Lord and staying together. But if we have a rebellious type, if we're the type that we push off any power, no, you don't tell me, I get all my leadings from the Lord. Oh, really? And your leadings from the Lord, do they allow you to work with other people? Does your leadings from the Lord, do you get along well with other people, or do you have to have your way? Lord, help us today. Empty your days of search for security. Fill them with a passion for service. Empty your hours of the ambition for recognition. Fill them with the aspiration for achievement. Empty your moments of the need for entertainment and fill them with the quest for creativity. Do you know what the social media, the television, and those things do for you? It stifles your creativity. You know, growing up, I was telling some young deputy last night, we was in my old neighborhood where we used to, I grew up, and I told him, I said, man, we didn't have, back then, we didn't have things. In fact, we stopped in a house, and I said to him, I said, see this house here? I trimmed this yard, it was 52, 54 years ago, I trimmed this yard. That didn't even excite him at all. I said, you know how I trimmed it? It was with the old hand shears. We didn't have weed eaters 50-some years ago. That's how, and I mowed it by hand. That's how we did things. The creativity. I also, when you wanted a motorcycle, you know what you did? You put balloons on the front axle. And you put those balloons on front and back, and you drove, and those balloons rubbed the spokes, and it sounded like you had a motorcycle. Boy, we really thought we were something. Creativity. In leadership, we need creativity. There's sometimes we get in a rut. The people get in a rut, don't they? We get in a rut, and we need something creative, and it's hard. It's hard. Even if you can do your best and get people to follow, it's a job sometimes, but we can't expect them to even try if we don't. We need the Lord to help us. So yeah, go out and put some balloons, boys. Put them on those front spokes and listen to the sound of it. Man, it sounds good. But do things. You know, in leadership, we've got to have creativity. There just has to be something. And I tell you, there's some real challenges that I have in my own personal life. I want the Lord to help me. And I hope you do too. I hope we can see that we're in this together and we need the Lord to help us to be good leaders. Isaiah 30 and 15 says this, "In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength." In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Not in the noise. David, as he was alone in the desert, he learned something with his harp, with the sound of the wind blowing, with the quietness around him. He learned to have confidence in God. And this is where he became the great leader. It wasn't the day that he slew Goliath, but no, it was back on the desert with the sheep. And his dad didn't even suspect anything from him. He didn't suspect that he was a leader at all. He didn't know all the stories that was going on. He didn't understand everything. His own dad, Jesse, didn't know. But David was making memories. He was doing more than just caring for a few sheep. He was learning lessons from the Creator. In that quiet time, like he says here in Isaiah, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. It's in those times when we're alone with God. Why do we have that song that says, "When storms of life around me beating, when rough the path that I have trod"? What's the... That's... "Within my closet door retreating, I want to be alone with God." That's where our confidence starts coming. Lord, it's irrelevant what everybody's saying about me. I really, if I can get your approval, that's what I want more than anything. The master's approval is always the servant's best wages. Proverbs 3 and 26. Someone read that for me. Also Acts 28 and 15. I'll read that one. Someone get for me Proverbs 3 and 26.
"For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken."
Isn't that wonderful? The Lord will be your confidence and he will keep your foot from being taken. Our confidence. Is our confidence in numbers? Do we get real courageous when we've got a lot of people around us and say, "Oh man, we can do anything"? It's when you're alone. A man told me one time he had a banny little hen, a little mother hen. You know, banny chickens are very small, and she had some little babies. And those little chicks were all around her, and a red-tailed hawk come out of the sky out of nowhere, dove down there, and all of them scattered. That mama took off running. She was hiding. And the owner saw him. Terry saw what was going on, and he run out there and was trying to get that. I think, I can't remember if the hawk did get one of the baby chicks or almost did or was trying to grab one. But when that mother hen saw that man coming, instead of running, she turns back around and she comes back like, "Yeah, you better get out of here. I'm going to get him." You know, when you got someone show up around you, you can feel pretty brave. But when you don't have anybody, it kind of tells our true colors. So Lord, help us today. Leadership is important to every one of us. The Lord will be your confidence. The Lord will be that. Amen. He will be our confidence. And remember, confidence breeds confidence. As a father, if you have confidence in what you're doing, your children are more apt to follow you. But if they see you up and down, you won't have the credibility. I'm sorry, it just won't be there. Lord, help us today to know what we're doing, where we're going, I love this song that we sing. Part of it says, sing of defeat, no, never. Sing victory. And I believe it says, sing victory with all of our might. We need that. The confidence. Please understand me. I'm not talking about in ourself. In quietness and confidence, you'll be your strength. It's from the Lord. But we've got to have it. If we're not sure what we're doing, it's everybody around us is unstable. You all remember Brother Austis helping Brother Merrill. Brother Darrell was up on a ladder real high. And Brother Austis came below him and got a hold of the ladder. And he had the shakes. He had the palsy. And he got a hold of that ladder. And he said, I want to help you. And he was... Then he said, oh, Brother Austis, I believe I'm okay. I'm all right. He was about to shake him off. Do you realize when we are not sure of where we're at, everything we touch gets the shakes. I was with a young man one time, and we had to fix a ceiling tile that had come out. And it was in the atrium. It's where they had an ice skating rink down low. And then there was three levels. And then above that, way up there, there was a ceiling tile. One ceiling tile that was coming out. And the management said, we've got to have it fixed. So both of us got on there. And Monty, I will say his name, was so confident. Yeah, this is no problem at all. And I'm going to tell you what, I was scared. I was scared. We got up past that third level, and we're out on the ice, and that thing had outriggers on it. And I just got thinking, we're up too high. This thing's going to fall over. And Monty got up there, and we got right up to putting that in, and he started shaking. And the whole thing was shaking. I thought, he's going to shake us off of here. And I said, would you mind if I try? And he said, no, go ahead. Oh, I was shaking too, but I got it and I put that ceiling tile back in its place. And then the breaker tripped on that machine to let us down. I tell you, I was sweating. It was not a fun time. But do you realize when people are shaking around you, you're going, they must not ever done this before. They must not be able to do it. They don't have no confidence. They can't do that. We need help today, this morning. We need help this morning, all day. We need the Lord to give us that strength and that confidence that we need. We need the courage. You know, there's sometimes, get Acts 28:15. Did we already read that? No, I was going to read that. That's right. So it says here that they stood up. You know, that takes some courage to stand up. Acts 28:15. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the three taverns, whom, when Paul saw, he thanked God and he took courage. Doesn't sound like much, but I'll tell you, when you don't have very many people around you sometimes, just to see the brethren. Brother Murphy Allen said one time he was coming home and he got around, and he was walking down a road and he seen one of the saints' dogs and he took courage. Just seeing that old dog gave him courage. It's pretty nice to have a little bit of confidence sometimes, and a little bit of help that comes by and lifts you up. It means a whole lot. Lord bless us. Today, empty your days of the search for security. I've already read that. This next one, a person must soon forget himself to be long remembered. You get that? A person must soon forget himself to be long remembered. He must empty himself in order to discover a fuller self. He must lose himself to find himself. Forget yourself into greatness. Empty yourselves into adventure. Lose yourselves into immortality. May the Lord bless us today. In 1 John 4 and 8, a very familiar scripture here. How can we lead with no giants? How can we expect people to have courage when we ourselves have not been courageous? How can we? We really don't have much authority, do we? When we ourselves have not rose at the hour of need and stood up and been faithful. There are people, when they see the tide moving, they come to life. But when the tide's against, when there's obstacles, they're down and out. They want nothing. They'll tell you that it's not possible. It can't be done. This won't happen. But I have seen just those faithful few show up and put in a little support. It's like this woman one time. She just jumped right in with these soldiers marching along a dirt road, and she had her stick, and they said, Mom, you can't, what are you doing? She said, I'm going to fight the war. I said, you can't do that. Look, you only got a stick. And she said, well, they'll at least know what side I'm on. It's people like that inspire you. Just a stick, and you're going to go out with just a stick. Oh, yeah, they'll at least know what side I'm on. What's he say here in the book of John, the first chapter? The fourth chapter. It gives us something to think about. There is no fear in love. I'm reading in the 18th verse. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. The confidence that we get being alone with God, and the support internally we feel from Him, if God be for us, who can be against us, keeps us going on. Keeps us going on. I've just been privileged to witness through the years people that had confidence in God. It was like my mom. I mentioned before about her being a great leader to me anyway. She had been sick so long, and my dad and brother was about ready to do something. And I went in and talked to her and said, Mama, what are we going to do? And she said, oh, I believe the Lord's going to help me. That's all she said. Oh, I just believe the Lord's going to help me. And He did. Wasn't it Brother Fred Pruitt said, just before we starved, we didn't. And just before we were about to go out, we didn't. Isn't that just like God? Those kind of things have inspired me. They've encouraged me. Winston Churchill was, amidst all of his quirks and things that he had, I was still inspired by that man. That we went to London one time and went down to his little bunker where he had his little telephone and had some little rooms back there. They would go in. All the bombing was coming real heavy at nighttime. Winston Churchill would come out of his bunker and would walk the streets. There was gas lines ruptured, sewer lines, water lines, fires in buildings, and things was falling down. And he would go out and give the victory sign. Victory. He's the one that got up. I've heard this anyway in a speech. And never give up. Never, ever give up. I would like to encourage our hearts today about leadership. It's not something I can make up or put on. It's not something I become overnight. But it's something I learn in quiet places with God. I've learned, and no matter what happens, I still learn that. And it'll help me. I can go on. I can face tomorrow because He lives. I can keep going because I know He's going to help me. He has in time past, and He will today. He will never fail me now. Y'all remember some of you older ones here, and Brother Ira and Sister Ruby Stover singing the song, "He Will Not Fail Me Now." What a beautiful song. It just, as a boy, I remember hearing them sing that song. When Abraham obeyed the Lord, He did not fail him then. He went about and God didn't fail him. And He will not fail me now. He will lead me. He will guide me. He will bless us all. He will help us in this new year that's coming to be the people we should be. To not be faltering by the way. He will be with us to the very end. He's promised that. Things may get tough, but He's promised to be with us. I trust the Lord will bless us today. I trust that we'll not be afraid. Are we to throw our hands up in fear at a six-toed, six-fingered giant? Is He going to come by and pull His shoes off and just stick His foot up there and say, "Look at me. I got six on that one. I got six on this one. I got six. Ah! Wow. We better get away from him." Have you ever heard that saying, the bigger they come, the harder they fall? I think that came from David. I think that originated from him. The bigger they come, the harder they fall. Faith was telling him, that head's so big you can't miss. Fear was saying his head's too big. So I can't miss, that thing is so big. Do you realize that guy may have weighed 700, 800, 600 pounds? Let's say he weighed 600 pounds. Do you know that's a big boy? That's a lot of, do you know what it sounded like when he hit the ground? Dust flying. David might have had to wait till the dust cleared to go over there and finish him off. But what are we doing today? Are we going to let those things keep roaring? And we have problems. You know, there's problems. And those things just seem like keep coming. I think we have to face some of our problems, folks. We can't dodge them all of our life. There's times we have to face them. And God, help us today to do that. Help us to be the leaders. You might say, "Well, I just don't feel very adequate." That's great. You got a good start right there. Your confidence belongs in God anyway. It's not in ourselves. We're not boasting of ourselves. It's something that comes from God. Let's ask the Lord this new year to help us to have a greater confidence and faith in God. And be the people that He would have us to be. Amen. Pray for me.